We are rolling along the Capital City Recap. We talked to the attorney of the mother, Jennifer Garza. She's the mother of her 13-year-old son, was attacked by his teacher here in the Lansing School District. That teacher was let go, but now the now she is filing a federal civil lawsuit against the district. Now, her son actually suffers from, or I should say has been diagnosed with autism spectrum disorder. And my next guest knows a lot about this. Wendy Fournier is the president of the National Autism Association. Wendy, thank you for joining us.
Hi, thank you so much for talking about this important topic tonight.
Yeah, I mean, the case, I mean, obviously the teacher is completely out of line, but here's what I want to ask you, first of all. When it comes to issues of autism in the classroom, I mean, do you hear, is this something that happens somewhat regularly where there's the teachers don't really know how to deal or handle these kinds of students?
Yeah, unfortunately, these types of situations do happen a lot. If you, you know, browse through recent headlines, you'll see stories about teachers slapping or kicking kids with special needs, kids being force-fed vinegar-soaked cotton balls, teachers hitting students, teachers using hot sauce to discipline their students.
How does this, I mean, what is it that happens? I mean, what kind of interaction leads to these kinds of attacks?
Well, I mean, it doesn't even matter what the interaction is. I mean, this is just plain abuse. That's what it is. It is absolute assault and abuse. So it doesn't matter what actions or behaviors led up to it. It is, you know, the behaviors of these adults who are supposed to be, you know, taking care of these kids and nurturing these kids who are abusing their power and don't know how to handle them properly. So maybe it's a lack of training or something like that, or they just don't understand that, especially with kids with autism who have communication challenges, any kind of behavior is actually a form of communication. They're trying to say something. You know, they may not be able to say it verbally, but they're definitely trying to get a message across. And sometimes that may look like they're, you know, they're not being compliant with the teacher. It may look like bad behavior, but a lot of times it's just because they have, you know, something in their head that they're trying to express and they're not ready to cooperate with whatever demand is being placed on them at that time.
Typically, will a child with autism spectrum disorder, will they be in a special kind of classroom? Will they be among students that are, you know, the rest of the students? What's the circumstance?
That depends on the level of functioning that the child has, and there is a very wide range. It is a spectrum disorder, so we have very high functioning people with autism, and then we have very severely affected people with autism, and those are the ones who are at extreme risk of abuse, especially the kids who are nonverbal, and they may not be able to tell anybody what happened to them. So they're definitely at the highest risk because, you know, the chances that the abuser is not going to get caught is a lot higher. But there was a study done in 2000, and it found that kids with disabilities are 3.4 times more likely to be mistreated than their non-disabled peers.
A lot of it is the fact that the perpetrator knows that the victim can't communicate it. Is that what it amounts to?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, our kids are really the ultimate victims of abuse because even if something happens and you have some evidence to suspect that something happened, you have a witness who cannot testify against the abuser, right? So it really becomes a matter of, you know, trying to piece it together. And very, very often, in these abuse cases, the abuser is not punished in any way. So they're basically dishing out punishment in classrooms, you know, that they feel is appropriate, but yet they suffer no punishment for abusing an innocent disabled child. Now, this is a widespread problem across the country.
Now, are teachers trained how to interact with children with autism spectrum disorder?
They should be. Unfortunately, a lot of districts don't provide proper training. And, you know, that is also a problem. And, you know, teachers, I have to say that most teachers, especially special ed teachers, are fantastic human beings. They are wonderful, compassionate people. But just like any other population, there are going to be some bad apples there. Mm-hmm. For teachers who, you know, don't know how to handle situations that can sometimes get out of control with a child with a disability, they can request crisis intervention training and continuing education through their school district. Do they need to be properly trained so that they can learn to avoid, avoid these types of incidents. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times they can be prevented just by learning how to de-escalate a situation. If you can see that a child is getting upset and becoming anxious, there are de-escalation techniques where you can take the child for a walk, take a break, and really kind of slow things down, get them regulated again, and avoid mm-hmm. any kind of situation where a child would have to be restrained in any way, or right. put into like a seclusion room or something like that.
I'm talking to Wendy Fournier. She's the president of the National Autism Association. So in this case, this Lansing boy, 13-year-old boy, the report is that he was trying to sharpen a pencil, and then this teacher basically told him to sit down. The boy went to another pencil sharpener instead, and that's when mm-hmm. this teacher grabbed him by the arm, dragged him to the classroom door, and threw him onto the floor and into a bookcase.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Would that happen with a typical kid? Would a teacher do that to a typical child who ignored their demands and went and sharpened their pencil? I seriously doubt that, because the typical child will be able to tell somebody what just happened.
Now, for a child with autism, would they not understand the situation? How would they kind of take in this kind of experience?
Well, I mean, this child is likely suffering from PTSD. I mean, you know, the effects are the same as they would be with anybody else. But in this particular case, I can totally relate to this, because my daughter, I have a 15-year-old daughter with pretty severe autism. And, you know, part of that is some OCD type of behavior. So if she has something in her head that she feels like she needs to finish, it's almost impossible to get her to move on to another task until she completes the one that she's working on. Mm-hmm. So I could see a similar situation like that easily happening with my own daughter, because in her head, she's like, I really, really need to finish sharpening this pencil. This sharpener isn't working. I have to get this done. And then I'll be happy to go with you and do whatever you need me to do. But it's like, it's almost like an OCD thing, and she just has to do it. And if she doesn't, you know, it could lead to her having a meltdown and you know, really kind of losing it, you know. But that comes with training. That comes with understanding the challenges that our kids have. And they may not be verbal enough to say, hey, do you mind if I just finish sharpening my pencil? That one didn't work. They can't verbally say it. So they're communicating through their actions. They're going to another pencil sharpener. And that's what, you know, I don't know this case. I don't know this family or this child, mm-hmm. but you know, reading it, I'm assuming that it was something like that.
In your daughter's case, is she in a specialized classroom? What kind of environment does she study in?
Yeah, she's in a special ed classroom, and she has a full-time one-to-one aide that's with her at all times.
Mm-hmm. A one-to-one aide, okay. And you've never, as a parent, what would you do if you heard, or if anything like this or similar to this were to happen to your daughter?
Oh, I would probably need bail money, but, you know, the first thing that a parent should do is, you know, you want to carefully document any incidents of suspected abuse. You want to take photographs of any types of bruising. Mm-hmm. You want to know, you know, if your child is having escalated behaviors at home, they're acting funny, they become afraid to go to school, they don't want to get on the bus in the morning, or they're having problems sleeping. These are signs that you need to be watching out. And there are things that parents can do. They can have documentation in their child's IEP, mm-hmm. Demanding that if there are any types of situations, behavioral situations in school, that they receive immediate notification. They mm-hmm. can include a letter that says my child is not to be restrained or put into a seclusion room at any time for any reason, and mm-hmm. that I'm to be contacted immediately.
Just tell me this, if a child... Go ahead.
I was just going to finish that by saying, if something happens and you know your child was abused, you want to immediately contact the police and child welfare to get them involved in an investigation, because the abusers need to be prosecuted.
Yeah, well, the crazy thing, he'd apparently been doing these kinds of things for a decade. That's what the lawsuit charges. If a child has autism but is verbal, are they less likely to report abuse of any kind?
No, if they're verbal, most kids with autism are very frank, matter of fact, and would be able to very clearly say exactly what happened, because they don't candy coat anything, and they don't lie. They don't know how to make stuff up. Everything is really black and white to most individuals who have autism. It just is what it is.
Right. Is this a rare instance, a case like this here in Lansing?
No, this is not rare at all. There are hundreds of cases. There was a study done in 2009 by the Government Accountability Office, and they concluded that there are no federal laws that restrict the use of restraints in public and private schools. And so we really need the states to get on board, to protect the kids in each individual state. Mm-hmm. And they noted that there were hundreds of cases of alleged abuse and even death relating to some of the methods that are used on kids with disabilities in school over the last two decades. I mean, I have stories here that you wouldn't believe. You know, five-year-olds being duct taped to their chairs, their faces slammed into the desks in front of them. One kid was being forced to eat something, and they kept spitting it out. So the teacher just grabbed the back of his head and slammed his face into the desk, broke his nose. I mean, there are hundreds of stories like this out there, and most of the time, the abusers do not suffer any consequences.
Wendy Fournier, she is the president of the National Autism Association. Wendy, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you. Yep. Have a good evening.
Certainly brought a lot of insight to this issue. And again, it is a federal civil lawsuit. I should note that teacher was let go. He was charged, and he is no longer with the district. So that is the state of that story. Hey, we're back. We're going to be right back here tomorrow at 6 p.m. with a lot more. Also, if you're having a hard time listening on the radio, check us out online. We stream live. It's the 1320wils.com. That is our website. Michael Cohen, producer Mike Peterson. Join us again tomorrow at 6 p.m. Have a good night. Bye-bye.